Welcome to Moon Harbor Heroes. Today's issue is Cataclysm Crew, issue 72, A Broken Winged Bird. The cover of this issue is completely black, save the faintest colored outlines of each of our heroes. We turn the page and our story begins. Our next panel opens in the Moon Harbor Botanical Garden. And Ben, this is where your sanctuary is, right?
Yep.
Can you describe what the botanical gardens look like a little bit?
I would say that it's kind of imagine it like a smaller Disneyland, I guess, like in the sense where how they have everything is all like sectioned out, right? So there's like a main, there'd be a main entrance. And then as you go off the beaten path, there are going to be different gardens and different sort of varieties that you can see as well. And my home is actually, I would say it's right in the middle. And then it leads out to all of the different sections of the gardens.
Perfect. And this looks very much like the botanical gardens that you know, mm-hmm. except there is a hedge maze that's probably like 12, 14 feet tall.
Huh. I mean, I feel like I'd be drawn to it, right? And I'm assuming, sorry, out of character, I'm assuming that, like, does this reset or do I still realize that we're in, like, dream world right now?
So you remember vaguely that you were with Max and Lucy earlier, mm-hmm. and you remember that something happened, but it's mm-hmm. all pretty foggy.
Okay, so then am I still transformed then?
At this point, you are back in normal civilian clothes.
But I can see at this point then, right?
You can.
Oh my god. Okay, so I don't think I'm going to realize that right now, but I'm definitely going to start walking towards the hedge maze, excuse me.
Perfect. And as you are walking, you glance over, like, kind of to the left of the hedge maze, off in the distance, and you see all three of your friends, well, three of your four friends from your group. You see Amber, you see Clara, and you see Lucy. Amber, Clara, Lucy, you all remember that you had another girls' night, and that this is, like, the next day. You don't remember getting here, but there's definitely, like, the plan was to be here.
I mean, that sounds right. We were probably teasing Clara.
I think it's probably definitely, like, a teasing thing. Like, we're laughing, and Clara just looks, like, really embarrassed.
Are we in civilian clothes at this point?
You are, yes.
Can I walk up to them and be like, hey, ladies, what's so funny?
Can Lucy and Amber exchange a glance here?
Absolutely, yes.
They were just saying that something was funny.
Okay. Hey, look, I'm about to walk around the maze if you guys want to join me. Pretty beautiful day out.
Look, I finally made it.
Oof. I don't know how I would react to that, you guys. Like, the botanical garden is still kind of a sore spot for Ben. Like, would he take that as a joke, or would he...
Well, for what it's worth, you laugh.
Okay.
And then you start leading everyone towards the hedge maze. Ben, you've been in the hedge maze a bunch of times. You know your way around.
Yeah.
You can get really lost in there. When you first go in, should you take a left or a right?
Let's take a left.
Perfect. You take a right and go in the other direction.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, ladies. I think I just, sorry. I'm so sorry. I got a little bit confused. Why don't we backtrack the other way?
Clara had started walking backwards to face you. Like, even though she had no idea where everyone was going, she's like walking backwards so that she can see your face. And she just looks like kind of confused, furrows her eyebrows, and goes, okay.
So I attempt to try to turn back around.
You can turn back around.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to do that.
As you're walking, the hedge maze has like topiaries in it, like topiaries that carved to look like people.
Mm-hmm.
And you pass a bunch of familiar faces. There's a topiary that looks like Kid Katie. There's a topiary that looks like Scattershot. And there's a topiary that looks like Travail. A couple of the other Nerds on a Roll crew. You pass a topiary that looks like a Korean woman. She's got shoulder-length black hair, bangs. You can't tell that her eyes are green, but her eyes are green. The like leaves on the outside of her like torso area are a little bit browned, making it look like she's wearing like a brown leather jacket. She's got like blue flowers growing down her legs, so it looks like she's wearing jeans. It's very, very nice. She looks like she's probably about 18 or 19. And you all keep walking.
Did I ever get to tell you guys about my old team?
I think maybe a few times in passing.
Yeah, yeah. And just like as he's like kind of talking, I feel like he realizes that this do I still recognize the surroundings, because I've definitely been through here before in real life, right?
There's not a hedge maze in the botanical gardens in real life.
Oh god. Oh no. Oh no. I'm so lost.
But you know it. This is familiar.
Okay. I keep trying to get to the middle of the maze then. Oh, you know, like, I'm trying to, like, keep it light and airy and chatty and all that stuff, too. I try to make it a point to try to walk right next to Clara, also.
In Dream World, she lets you.
Dang, son!
Maybe Lucy and Amber are, like, walking several paces behind to give them some space.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
There's definitely a lot of, like, you know how when two people are walking next to each other and they keep hitting hands?
Yes.
That's very cute. Lucy and Amber, what are your reactions to that every time they, like, bump hands?
Look you give your friend of, like, mouth pressed together, eyes wide, like, did you just see that? I imagine it's a lot of that.
Oh, Amber's, like, got that big old cheesy grin on her face.
If you've ever seen those, like, short videos or TikToks where it's, like, the silent conversation that people have with each other, it's that in the background the entire time.
And every couple moments, every once in a while, Clara turns behind and will roll her eyes and look back.
We have, like, totally straight faces when you turn around.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely all the teen romance is happening all around Ben.
Now, Ben, you know at the heart of this hedge maze is a reflecting pool. It's really beautiful. It's got, like, amazing flowers around it. How do you get there? Like, what is, like, the next turn?
I think it's another right.
And you go left.
Okay. Oh, God. I think I don't realize it this time, and I just keep walking that way.
Perfect.
I think I'm just so distracted by the one thought of, like, should I just hold her hand now or not? Like, is this my chance?
As you turn, you do reach a reflecting pool, but it's not surrounded, like, by, like, beautifully flowering trees and flowers. It's surrounded by trees that are void of leaves. If anyone has seen apple trees without leaves on them, like, in, like, the dusk time when there's, like, long shadows on the ground, it is that. These are craggly and reach towards the sky. It kind of looks like a bramble patch growing on a tree trunk. And it looks like the branches are all, like, reaching towards you all as you walk in. Ben, this doesn't feel out of the ordinary to you.
Yeah, so, like, I'm just going to start, like, trying to get through the bramble and everything, too. And, like, as I kind of, like, bend over to try to get through, like, the first few branches, I put my hand up to Clara. And I'm like, hey, come with me.
Do we notice that everything's dead?
Not at all.
Okay, I'll take his hand.
Perfect. Amber and Lucy, what are your reactions to that?
Can we high five?
Absolutely, yes.
But, like, a very, like, slow, quiet high five.
Definitely you're about to do a loud one and then Clara glares at you.
I do want to turn back and say, like, oh man, I wish Max was here also.
I know. I don't know where he is. Weird, he usually hangs out with us.
Yeah, that is kind of weird, right? I wonder what he's doing right now.
And with that, we're going to cut away from the group of you all. And Max, you are in the park. The park that we've seen so many times in Moon Harbor. And you are alone. Like, not alone, just you, but there's people around. The park is completely empty.
Is it okay if I remember what the scene I was just in?
Yeah, sure.
So I think Max is just, like, frantically scrolling through his phone and, like, trying voice commands, like, call Amber, call Machina, call Rebel Rouser, just call someone. And the phone is just not responding.
A phone rings in the distance.
You know, nothing else makes sense. I'm going to, like, turn and stare off in that direction and then just head towards it.
And Amber, you answer the phone.
Hey, Max, what's up?
Oh, my God, Amber, something's wrong. I think there's some kind of villain who can control reality. Everything's broken. Where are you?
Amber, you're just on the other side of the park.
I'm at the park.
And Max is, like, looking around, trying to see her. Where? I am, too.
And at that moment, Amber comes into view.
And I, like, wait, and I, like, raise up a hand to wave.
And I think we see Max just running full speed. Like, they're probably just dropping his phone at this point.
What? That's so out of character.
I'm freaked out. That's fair. I don't like this.
I assume you two hug?
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
Excellent. And as you pull back, like, Squire appears at Amber's feet. Like, I guess she was, like, walking with Amber. So she, like, comes and, like, nuzzles against your leg, Max.
And I think, yeah, Max, like, crouches down at Amber. Like, have you noticed weird stuff? Like, I was just with Lucy and Ben, and now I'm here. I have no idea what's happening.
I mean, now that you mention it, yeah, that giant Clara was kind of weird.
I'm sorry, giant what?
And before you can respond, you glance at Squire, and she reaches forward and slashes across your face.
I think I just, like, fall back. What the hell? Squire, are you okay?
And Squire climbs up the back of Amber's leg. And then up to Amber's shoulder. And when you look at Amber's face, this face looks a lot like the Calvin that you saw earlier. Very horrifying and monstrous. Elliot, you're going to go ahead and play Amber as a villain. And this is going to be a PvP fight. What do you do to attack Max?
Before you answer, can I toss out a suggestion?
Sure.
So in Max's mind, Amber is just like the greatest of heroes. So can I suggest that Amber has some burn and access to all the flares?
Yep, Amber, I'm going to say you get 3 burn and any flares you want.
Oh my God, hold on, let me pull up the playbooks.
Like, in Max's mind, there isn't anything Amber can't do, oh, which would make this fight so terrifying for him.
Also, can I add maybe for, like, a visual, like, since she has the shadow powers, like, maybe, like, around her eyes, it's just, like, not, like the, like, smoky eyes, but, like, a lot more spread out. So, like, just the whole area around her eyes is just kind of, like, in shadow.
Oh, I hate it. Thank you so much.
That's very good. So, Amber, what does this look like as you attack Max?
Oof.
And I think Max is still, like, on his back, scrambling backwards away from the two of you.
I'm gonna spend a bird and you snatch.
Excellent. Tell me what that looks like.
You said Max is running away.
Like he fell backwards onto his butt and he's kind of like scrambling backwards away from you all without and trying to pull himself to his feet as he does it.
He gets to his feet and Max's shadow is pointing behind him and this large hand jumps like out of the shadow and like grabs hold of him from behind and picks him up in the air.
We see Max like struggling in this hand like, Amber, no, that you can't be Amber. That, no, put me down.
But I am Amber. This is who I was always going to be, Max.
No, Amber's better than this. I'm going to see if I can like squirm out of the bottom of the hand.
I think that's a directly engage a threat to take yourself from the hand.
All right. That is a 7.
All right. So choose one.
I would like to take myself out of this.
Perfect. You fall out of the hand. You get it out. And as you hit your own shadow, you fall through the shadow portal. And you and Amber are now standing in the living room of the MMM headquarters.
Ooh, can I throw a suggestion?
Sure.
How about the alleyway right outside the MMM headquarters?
Oh, no.
Okay, cool. Yep.
I just think, like, in the background of this, like, the Saber Cycle is parked in the same spot it was when we were here in reality.
Ouch.
Excellent. So we cut to the alleyway right behind the MMM headquarters, where, if we recall, Alan once told Max he needed to stay behind because he wasn't a good enough hero. And there's a crowd of people all pointing and being like, that's the villain Rebel Rouser. That's Amber. She's evil. And lots of like murmurs like that. And near the front of the crowd, there's a Korean woman with shoulder length black hair, bangs, green eyes, a brown leather jacket, jeans, and like a patterned t-shirt. And she's got her phone out and is taking some pictures.
Max is like in like a bit of like a fighting stance, squaring off against Amber. He's like, Amber, we don't have to do this. Like, if it's you, you can fight it. If it's not, you're not evil.
I want to spend a bird and use worship.
Oh, God.
I'm having fun with this.
Tell me what that looks like.
Amber grins. And like, it's, if you just look at the mouth, it's the same grin that Amber is always giving Max. But with the eyes, it looks so wrong. And she like, her shadow kind of like was extending behind her, like kind of immediately shrinks to her feet. And she just kind of like is risen up by like the shadow. Her shadow like lifts her up in the air and she's got like this tether to the ground and like looks down at Max. She's probably like 10 feet in the air and says, I am Amber. Why would I fight this? This is so much better. She says that as she rises in the air and she like raises a hand over towards all of these people and their shadows just start to expand. Until this whole crowd is just standing in shadow and it's calm for a second. But then all of a sudden hands pop up and start grabbing at people. Some people start like sinking into the shadows. It turns into chaos. And I do have to roll to unleash my powers. That's a 14.
God.
Oh no, my good rolls are finally my downfall.
It doesn't just turn into the crowd like getting grabbed by these shadow hands in chaos. As the people get grabbed by the shadow hands, their eyes immediately cloud over.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And they turn and start advancing down the alleyway from either side towards Max.
And I think we get Max, like, looking at everyone advancing, staring up at Amber, like, tears in his eyes. And then he just sighs and goes, okay, if this is the path you're going to walk, I'll walk it with you. And, like, holds his hand up to Amber.
And with that, we're going to cut away from all of you and cut back over to the apple orchard. As you, like, walk up to the edge of the reflecting pool to, like, show it off, you and Clara, holding hands, walk up to the edge and look in. And then the panel shifts. And Ben, we see you under the water. You are looking up from the reflection up towards the sky. And above you, this like spectral figure in the clouds with his hands out like he's marionetting you is Alistair Reeve. Can you describe what Alistair Reeve looks like?
Jeez. Okay. I'd say like between his 30s and 40s. Is he transformed or not transformed?
He is just a human right now.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. So he's between his 30s and 40s, like very, very nice, like three-piece suit, all of the rich things you could possibly think of, just because in real life, this guy is very, very rich. Kind of that like perfectly coiffed, like swept back blonde hair. And yeah, that's like, think of like the richest person you could possibly think of, and then think of them richer. I think that's the best way to describe him.
Perfect. And we get a flashback to the first time you met Alistair Reeve. Can you describe what that looked like?
So, Alistair Reeve was the person who had the Blade of Sorrows before Ben did. Alistair tried to kill Ben's mom because she is an innocent, and Ben got a hold of the blade and cut Alistair, which is how you transfer the blade to somebody else.
And we see him above you, and his hands are like marionetting your body. We get a panel from Lucy and Amber's perspective as Ben just reaches behind Clara's back and shoves her into the reflecting pool.
Am I inside the pool or am I outside of it being marionetted?
So you are watching from inside the pool.
Okay.
Your body is now doing whatever it wants.
Okay. So like I immediately start like trying to put my hands like up through it, and I'm trying to run through it as well. And like, is it kind of like pained glass, like I can't like get out?
Very much that, yep.
Okay, yeah. So I would be like pounding on this glass and all that as well as she falls in.
I think I try to grab him and pull him in with me because I think it's a joke.
Perfect. As you try to grab him, which you're still more than welcome to do, you look and his face is demonic. It looks like he is transformed, but just his face.
Ah, okay. I still think I pull him into the water. But I think it's now. At first, she's like laughing as she trips a little bit. And then when she grabs him to like pull him in with her and then looks and sees that, it's too late. She's already pulling him into the water. But there is definite like sudden fear on her face.
Perfect. And you all hit the water hard. And though the reflecting pool is only like actually like a foot deep, you are submerged and like water on water on water. This is an ocean in this reflecting pool. Amber and Lucy, what are y'all doing?
How much of what they're perceiving can we see? Like, does it look like they just fell into a reflecting pool? Or do we see the ocean as well?
It's definitely deeper than a reflecting pool should be. It's not quite so deep. It probably looks like it's about like 8 or 9 feet deep.
I think Amber runs toward it, like calling out, like, are you okay?
And I met Lucy does something very similar. It's like, oh, my friends just fell into a body of water. I should check on them.
As you look in the water, Ben is no longer human form Ben. Ben is his demonic form, but this is like hulked up, like muscular, probably like slightly taller than he is. This is like not quite to where Mega Clara was, but like this is like Ben Blade of Sorrows as a like very beefy, intimidating looking demon.
Is he making the face?
Not the smiling face. You actually don't see his face. You just see him like from the back, just pushing Clara down into the water.
Clara's going to try to hulk out too and just like surge up back through the water in like, not in like a I want to hurt you way, just in like a what the hell are you doing kind of a way.
Perfect. Go ahead and roll to directly engage a threat to take yourself from him.
That's a 5.
Perfect. You do hulk out and emerge from the water. And now you're like standing, like the water is suddenly not an ocean anymore. You're just like kneeling and it's about a foot deep. So you're like comfortably on the ground, head above water. You're not drowning. And then the water around you starts to boil and steam. Claire, can you take a powerful blow for me?
I am going to use I am not my body to subtract 2 from this roll.
Perfect.
That's a 7.
And with I am not my body, you get different options, right?
No, with I am not my body, it's the same options unless I roll a 10 plus, in which case I have to lose control of my powers.
Perfect. Okay, so you got a 7, so choose one from that list.
I think I'm going to lash out verbally to at a teammate, still kind of thinking that Ben is my teammate. I just turn around. Where is he? Is he somewhere? Can I see him?
He's standing right in front of you.
I think I just like try to grab him by the scruff of the collar and I just like shake him and I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Hopefully trying to provoke him to like feel bad about himself and cower like a coward.
Perfect. I'm going to modify that slightly. Real Ben, can you just take a power or take a condition for me?
Oh, geez. I am going to take hopeless.
Perfect. And the water is steaming and filling the air. Amber and Lucy, you see this happening. And the steam is getting really thick. It's really hard to see. Ben, from underneath, you can watch as like Alistair Reeve starts like moving the steam with his hand and like making a wall between Amber and Lucy. So Clara and fake Ben can see each other fine, but there's a literal wall of steam protecting them from their other two friends.
I try to pull out the blade.
Excellent. As you pull out the blade, everything stops. And then you are where the demon is. And you are looking through Demon Ben's eyes.
Oh, you're the worst, T.
I am the worst.
Oh my god.
And Demon Ben brings the sword up and slashes it down towards Clara. Can you take a powerful blow for me?
I can. Yeah, I will still use I am now my body. That's another 8.
All right, choose one.
I think I'm going to give ground. The opposition gets an opportunity. I think Clara, so usually when Clara takes a hit, it's not that she's like, I mean, she is quite dexterous, but the way that she typically weathers a blow, especially with the I am not my body thing, is she actually takes the hit and then immediately heals from it. So I think like she actually takes a hit from the sword. Like there's like a gash across her entire body and she takes a few steps stumbling back. She's starting to bleed. And then like the fabrics of her skin just start knitting themselves back together. And that's when the opposition gets an opportunity.
Perfect. And Demon Ben steps forward. Actually, Demon Ben uses the smoke portal and portals behind you and just shoves the sword through your stomach.
Shit!
And with that, we're going to cut back over to Max. Max, you have just offered your hand to the villain Rebel Rouser. And the crowd is still advancing, but they've kind of stopped as you reach your hand up. We see Rebel Rouser reach down and take your hand.
And I think we get a panel of Max's other hand in his pocket, and he clicks a button on the like Saber Cycle motorcycle, or like a remote, the Saber Cycle remote. And I would love the Saber Cycle to just ram Amber in the back at full speed.
Go ahead and directly engage a threat.
This is gonna go well.
You do have influence over Amber.
Ooh, does that count? Sweet.
It does.
This might be the highest danger roll I've ever made. Cool, 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 cool. That's a 4.
I have an idea for how that fails.
Take it.
As it comes rushing towards Rebel Rouser, we see her grin again, and the shadow portal appears in front of her. And we see the Saber Cycle go into this portal, and the other portal is right behind her. So it just kind of like skips over her and starts speeding towards the crowd.
Perfect. And it just mows through dozens of people. They don't cry out in pain. There's no gore. They're just down, like bowling pins getting knocked aside. But as that happens, the wall behind Amber, so like the wall that Max can see, suddenly becomes a video screen of all these tweets and pictures and videos saying like, and like news articles and stuff, basically saying Rascal King attacks innocent people. Rascal King villain, question mark. And we watch as, like, the public opinion changes of Rascal King. Max, can you take a powerful blow for me?
That's a 9.
All right, on a 7 or 9, choose 1.
Can I be mean and spend a team to bump that up?
Yep, y'all have 1 team right now. Tell me how you spend a team to bump it up.
You told me to be evil, so I'm gonna do it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I think, like, as those images pop up, Amber extends a hand toward Max like he had done previously and said, "You said you'd join me."
Max is just staring, like, open-mouthed at these screens. And I'm going to choose 2 from the 7 to 9 list. I'm going to give ground because I think I'm just staring at this screen, fixated on it. And I am going to struggle past the pain and mark 2 conditions. I am afraid and I am hopeless.
Perfect. And the crowd looking at all of you surges inward. And you choose to start getting swallowed by hands and shadows. Specifically, Max, you are getting swallowed by shadows and hands. And in comparison to the other dream, where it all ended, like, with white light all surrounding you, you are suddenly just overtaken by darkness. And the last thing you see is Amber's face with that horrifying grin, grinning down at you as the world becomes just dark. And then you get a montage of panels. You and Amber, as villains, just destroying the city. And these are horrifying. We see, like, you two taking down, like, the new Saber. We see you actively killing Vixen. And it is terrifying and dark. And the two of you, at the end of it, are standing on top of the old movie theater, looking down at a crowd of people who all have those shadowed eyes. And Amber looks at you. And this isn't the horrifying smile, it's just Amber's smile. And she says, "We did it," and offers her hand for a high five.
I don't know if I have any control here, but I feel like the last panel in this is, like, right before the high five connects with the shadowy energy, like, flowing between the hands.
Perfect. We cut from the panel of Amber and Max about to high five and this darkness overwhelming everything to the reflecting pool. And the fog is gone. The steam is gone in the split second before Demon Ben shoves his sword through Clara. So Amber and Lucy, you two just saw Ben stab Clara through the stomach.
And they're, like, in the reflecting pool?
Yeah, they're, like, standing in the reflecting pool and you two are on the edge of it.
I think we see Amber take a step forward and then turn to Lucy as, like, I can't swim.
Lucy then probably looks to Amber and is like, okay. And so she probably just, like, hovers in the air and then, like, zips forward and tries to, like, tackle Demon Ben.
I'm going to try to protect Demon Ben.
Before you defend, Lucy, can you go ahead and roll to directly engage a threat for me? And for what it's worth right now, Amber, the reflecting pool only looks like it is about a foot deep, but that has changed, like, 4 or 5 times already.
Yeah, well, also, so the reason why she can't swim from, like, back with Scion days, like, I think it still applies, of, like, she's basically human, like, electric current, like, live current. She would electrocute anybody in the water with her.
True. All right.
I rolled an 8.
Okay. Now, Clara, if you want to go ahead and defend, you could potentially bump that down to a 6.
That's a 9. It still works. I just expose myself to cost, retribution, or judgment. I think what happens is I just slightly move, still on the sword, or I pop off of it. I don't know. How do you think that looks like, Lucy?
Thought process is that if I tackle Demon Benedict still holding the sword, it will take the sword out of your stomach.
So then you're probably still on the sword, Clara.
And that's the cost?
I'll give you the cost in a second. Just tell me what it looks like as you stop, Lucy.
I think it just looks like her holding up her hand and, like, one's on her stomach where, like, the sword is sticking through and one's just holding up, like, towards Lucy. And she just goes, I'm okay. And you can see, like, the knitting of her healing is, like, over and over and over again, just healing, like, on repeat, just healing, 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 healing so that she doesn't bleed out.
Perfect. We get a close up on the cellular level of that, and we see, like, your cells knitting themselves all back together. And as they start to knit back together, this darkness starts to spread through them. And there's a moment where we see that darkness spreading and we pull back and we see Clara with Demon Ben over her shoulder. And then we see Demon Clara with regular Ben over her shoulder. And the sword is now gone from the wound, and Clara is now holding the Blade of Sorrows.
So we just switched places?
The way that the blade works is if it cuts someone but doesn't kill them, it can transfer the power to them.
Oh no!
Basically, like if somebody else is holding it and they cut the original wearer, then that's when it transfers over. The original owner. Yeah, right? I think that's what we're trying to do right now.
Yep. It's a little dream logic-y, so like that's not actually how it worked in the real world. But
yes.
Now Clara, the wild thing, is also the Blade of Sorrows.
So am I like back to like actually controlling myself again?
Yep.
Oh God. Okay.
Clara, you now have a voice in your head telling you to kill all of your friends.
Could I make a suggestion on this one? I don't want it to be just like, oh, kill all your friends. I kind of want it to be like a little bit of a bigger moment, because Clara's going to be able to hear exactly what I hear in my head the entire time. So I think, I don't know if it's just like one voice. I think it's like a cacophony of like, you should kill Flyby. You should kill Rebel Rouser. You like, I think you should eviscerate them this way or that way. Like, and it's the same voice saying all these different things, but the end goal is to murder everyone that you love.
Perfect.
I pull the sword out and throw it into the water that is never endingly deep.
You throw the sword into the reflecting pool and then glance down at your hand and it is back in your hand.
I don't like this. I turn to Ben and I say, I would never hurt you just like you would never hurt me.
And then Clara, your arm swings and swings the sword down towards Ben.
Nuh-uh, how do I stop it?
What I do then, since I'm in control of myself now, I still have my walking stick. And I put it up in order to defend myself.
Perfect, you just do that. You just stop the blade from coming in. Lucy, you're watching all this happen. What are you doing?
Is the lake still boiling?
No, it is not.
Okay, cool. So Lucy's like, because she tried to like tackle Demon Ben, so she's probably like half in the water at this point, looking up at Clara and Ben and is like, what just happened?
And Clara just swung her sword down at Ben, who defended it with the walking stick.
Okay, she probably springs up and she's like, okay, really, like, what's going on right now? Why are you attacking him? He just attacked you, you're attacking him. What's going on here?
I'm just trying to resist the, like, my whole muscles are tensing. I'm just trying to use my brute strength to overpower this magic.
I just start yelling, she's not in control of herself. I'm not either right now. Take out the both of us.
I like that invitation.
I'm going to let Rebel Rouser take that invitation. What are we doing, Rebel Rouser?
So are they, like, above the water, in the water? Like, what's their position?
Their feet are both in the water.
Amber reaches forward into her shadow, and we kind of see, like, these, like, shadow hands pop up. I think I'll go for Ben. She just kind of, like, grab and, like, wrap arms around Ben and try to, like, pull him through, like, back to the ground by the pool.
Perfect. Go ahead and roll to... That feels like an Unleash Your Powers.
Okay. That's a 10.
All right, tell me what it looks like as Ben lands on the ground there.
There's this, like, moment of she'd been, like, kneeling on the ground to kind of lean forward into her shadow, like, not totally thinking about it, and then you just see her, like, pull back, and just kind of goes tumbling with, like, Ben, like, rolling over, like, past her.
Perfect. And Ben, as you sit upright, you see, in the distance, Alistair above Clara, controlling her movements.
Can we do something dream logic-y? And, like, I get to the place where he's controlling her.
If you want to get up there, go ahead and roll to unleash your powers to get there.
Let's do it.
Might I also suggest some dream logic of cutting the marionette strings?
I don't know if that's going to do anything, just because of how my dream is going right now. I'm trying to think, like, pop culture-wise, like, how dreams usually go. And I'm trying to confront fear itself right now, if that makes sense.
That works for me.
So, yeah. So, roll to unleash powers. That's a 12.
Perfect. Tell me how you get up to where Alistair is.
Since I feel like I don't have access to my powers at this point, and the dream has, like, tricked me into not thinking it, I was just thinking, like, I looked up, and then the next panel is me there, right? So, like taking full advantage of the dream logic itself.
Excellent. And Alistair is right in front of you, and he looks up, and he's actually very surprised that you're there. And there's a moment where we see him, and he has raised Clara's hand up, so she's bringing the sword down towards Lucy. But he, like, drops his hands so Clara, you regain control of your body. And he is now focused entirely on Ben.
There's like very much like a low growl in my voice at this point. And I think I'm so deep into the dream itself that I believe I'm actually speaking to Alistair Reeve himself. And I would say, you have taken everything from me. And to do this to somebody else that I care about, you've taken my sight, you've taken my life, and you still want to live with this curse? And I feel like now that's kind of where like the anger arises. And then instead of the walking stick, it's the blade. And then I'm walking towards Alistair menacingly. Every fiber of my being wants to take a slash at him. But because of my training, because of everything that's happened before I came to Moon Harbor, I hope that I can like find the inner peace that I usually have in order to tune out the blade, in order to tune out my anger, in order to be the type of hero that I believe myself to be. So is there a way, like, is there some sort of role that I can do in order to like make sure that like I calm down and I understand the situation for what it is?
Narratively, I think that just happens.
Okay, cool.
I think the way the panel is framed, if you don't mind me taking control for a sec.
Please.
We see you raise the sword and then drop it. And it clatters to the ground in front of you. And Alistair is kneeling, like, cowering in front of you. And then suddenly you're standing with your walking stick on the ground in front of you, standing in the reflecting pool.
I walk over to you and I hold out my hand to help you up.
I take it. And then I look at you lovingly because you now kind of understand a little bit what I have to go through every day.
I move like really, really close to you and then right past to your ear. And I say, you said the best way to end this was to take us both out. I trust you. And then I stab us both.
And unlike in the previous dreams where everything like slowly went light or dark, it just goes black. We turn the page out of Ben's dream and we see not a bright sunshiny morning, but like a morning. It's a little cloudy, a little overcast. And we see Amber's bedroom in C4. There's a little bit of light coming in through the windows, but again, it's not super nice out. And Amber, you wake up suddenly realizing that the past two scenes that you saw, the Clara's nightmare and Ben's nightmare, were both nightmares. And now you're awake.
I think I like look around the room and blink. I just kind of take a second just to be like, what the fuck was that?
And at that, there's a knock on your door. And Max, you're outside.
I will get up and answer the door.
Max, you woke up from your dream and had the same revelation. That the scene with Lucy's dream and your dreams were both nightmares.
I think Max just has like very clear tears in his eyes, like eyes red and puffy. And the moment the door's open, just like throws himself into Amber for a hug.
Yeah, Amber hugs him back, but looks kind of bewildered because I don't think Amber interacted with Max in the dreams at all.
Not at all. Nope.
Yeah. So just like, what? Are you okay?
Had a really bad nightmare. And like Max pulls back a little and looks at Amber. And I don't know if anyone else would pick this up, but I think Amber definitely sees like the slightest amount of like fear and distrust in Max's eyes.
Yeah. And Amber looks really kind of like shocked and confused. Like, yeah, I had some weird dreams, but they were, I don't know. It kind of felt like I was in somebody else's dreams.
And I think at that, Max fully takes a step back and goes, whose dreams?
There's the big Clara, so I guess Clara. I guess the other one was Ben's.
You mentioned the big Clara. You don't remember? Wait.
I didn't see you at all in either of them.
Hey, Amber.
Yeah?
Your new powers, you're like, they're like under control, right?
Yeah, why?
Nothing. It's just, you know, we don't really know where they came from, and I was just worried.
Oh, like Amber just has this look of concern on her face.
Wait, so I ran into you in my dream and you mentioned a giant Clara. Are these, what's going on?
I have no idea.
And before you two can go any further, you hear the TV in your like living room and it sounds like a breaking news report.
I think we exchanged glances before heading out to the living room.
As you get out to the living room, there is in fact a breaking news report on the monitor. And you see the new group that has been assembled, the new Saber, led by Brandon Reeves, standing in the middle of town square with dozens of superheroes and supervillains and mercenaries and superpowered people of all kinds in power nullifying handcuffs. And Brandon Reeves is speaking and he says, "We've decided that at this point it is too big a risk for anyone to have superpowers. So we are going to remove them completely. This is your warning. If you want to be brought in forcefully, we will bring you in forcefully. But if you want to turn yourself in, this is your opportunity."
I think Max looks at Amber and goes, "What the hell did you all build while I was gone?"
"I wasn't involved in any of that. What? That never came up at any meetings. At least that I was in."
And at that point, the portal crackles to life and Vixen comes stumbling out. And she looks at all of you and she's like, "They got Lena and they're coming for us too. We have to get out of here."
We can turn off the portal. We're in C4. We can fly.
She nods. She's very out of breath. And she like points towards the cockpit.
I want to punch the screen. I want to break it.
Cool. You just do that.
Just fuck that guy. I knew he was the worst. I knew it. And then, yeah, I'll head over to the cockpit.
As you sit down at the cockpit to start flying C4, when your fingers get close to it, your fingers turn into red digital static. Very similar to the pixels we saw earlier.
And Amber's like really starting to panic. Like, what the fuck? Max, what's happening?
I think like when you say that, Max is like in the background of this panel, like trying to comfort Vixen. And he just looks over and is like, "Amber, we got to go. Get us out of here."
Am I like able to do things with my hands?
When you try to get the ship to fly, it feels like you have that mental connection again, like previously with like the VR headset on. If you want to make the ship fly, just go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
Okay. That is an 8.
All right. On a 7 or 9, you can mark a condition or it'll be unstable or temporary.
I'm gonna mark afraid. I'm freaking the fuck out.
Excellent. And we see this ship lift up in the air and start to fly. And as you fly over Moon Harbor, you can see like flying superheroes being shot out of the sky, but not in a like they're getting like hurt and falling. It's like they're getting caught in nets from up in the air by like helicopters, and like they're like power nullifying nets. And you're just watching superhero after superhero just freeze.
What is happening? Maybe we take out the helicopters? Like what? I haven't tried to attack anything with the ship. Just fly it. Max, I don't know what to do.
I don't know if it's safe for us to get involved. We just make things worse. Just go.
Okay. I'll fly around the helicopters.
Sorry, Max is not doing well currently.
That's fair. But also, if Max says to not do it, Amber won't do it.
And I think we just see a panel of you all flying off towards the distance. And we see you take off towards the sun, like towards the distance. And as you take off, the sun in one panel is just glowing white. And in the next panel is a bundle of red pixels in the sky. And much like previous ones, the entire panel is gradually taken over by that light, except it is red pixels covering the entire screen. We turn the page and see the panel is split 5 ways vertically. And we see all of you like jolt awake in your beds. You all remember everything about the dreams you've experienced, with the exception of the woman who you all saw in every dream. Can I just get one reaction shot of each of you as you wake up in these beds? Let's start with Clara.
There's a minute where she's like just lying there and she can't move. Like she almost has like sleep paralysis. And then she reaches over and she has some medicine on the bedside table. And she just takes it and then just sits on the side of the bed with a glass of water.
Let's go to Ben next.
I think he sits up in bed in his sanctuary and cold sweat, right? Like he's just pouring sweat off of his body right now. Like he gets up, he kind of like rips the covers off of him. He gets up and he walks outside for a second in order to feel the night air. But it, like his hand is kind of like on the door frame and is kind of leaning past. And like he's like rubbing his temples and everything too.
Excellent. And with that, we get like a slightly pulled back shot and we see the area where the hedge maze was in the dream, where it's just like a greenhouse in the real world. And we cut over to Lucy.
The thing Lucy probably does when she wakes up is checks her phone and everything with writing on it. That's immediately within reach just to make sure that she is in fact awake and not in the dream world. And when she does, she probably like has sat all the way up and she's probably sitting like with her knees up, you know, how you can like sort of sit and like rest your elbows on your knees. And then she probably just sort of puts her head in her hands and like sort of between her knees.
Next, we cut to Amber. Amber, what does it look like as you wake up from these nightmares?
I mean, since the last one ended with or started with her waking up, I think there's kind of this moment where like she looks around and like pictures herself, gets up to open the door and sees Max isn't there, closes it. And then I think she goes back to her bed and like curls up into a ball with like some tears in her eyes.
And last but not least, Max, when you wake up from these dreams, what does that look like?
I think Max like sits upright, like bolt upright, with just this look of just shock and terror on his face, and then kind of like looks around the room and then like slowly lays back down, like curls into the fetal position and just kind of cries.
Oh, they're in matching positions.
Oh yeah.
And then we turn the page and the last page of our comic shows a young woman. She's got shoulder length black hair, bangs, green eyes. She's wearing pajamas, not the typical outfit that she usually wears. She's Korean, sitting up in bed. And she looks over at the doorframe, and a voice says, "Well, did you learn anything?" And she smiles and she nods and she says, "Yeah, I learned a lot, Mom and Dad." We cut over and we see in the doorframe Dr. Francine Develine and Alistair Reeve smiling at their daughter. Moon Harbor Heroes is produced by Icy Sheets, T. Heath, and Elliot Peterson, and edited by Icy Sheets and Sean Geddes. Icy can be found on Twitter at IcyNewYear or at IcyNewYear.com. T can be found on Twitter or Instagram at TPHuth94. That's TPHuth94. Elliot can be found at Elliot Yellen on Twitter. That's ELLIOTYLEN. Sean can be found at The Crumpet on Twitter. That's TheCrumpit. This issue is GM'd by T. Heath. The Blade of Sorrows is played by Jason Patrick Gallett. Jason Patrick Gallett, widely known in pop culture circles as JPG, is a pop culture critic and geek educator. His public speaking work with private businesses and outlets like Comic-Con International aims to enhance how people interact with media on an educational and inclusive level. You can find his voice on the podcasts like In Quest of Geek, Providing Your Next Pop Culture Journey, and Nerds on a Roll, an actual play tabletop RPG bringing stories that matter to the table. You can find those at In Quest of Geek and at NOAR_podcast, respectively. JPG can be found at JPG. That's JAEPEAGEE on Twitter. Flyby is played by Jane Barry. You can find her at Jane-Tarzan on Twitter. Rascal King was played by Icy Sheets. Rebel Rouser is played by Elliot Peterson. The Wild Thing is played by Rose Hahn. Rose is an actor, content creator, and mental health advocate. Her podcast, What Was I Saying? Living with ADHD, can be found on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play Music, or on Twitter at @what_was_I_saying. She can be found on Twitter or Instagram at Smiley Rosie, SmileyRosieyyyy. The music in this issue is Mistake the Getaway by Kevin MacLeod. A link to his website and the license will be in the show notes. Moon Harbor Heroes is played using Masks A New Generation, written by Brendan Conway and produced by Magpie Games. Our logo was designed by Beautiful Beasties. She can be found on Instagram at beastly.doodles or on Patreon at patreon.com/beautifulbeasties. If you want to get a hold of us, email us at moonharborheroes@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at moonharborcast. If you enjoyed this issue, please leave us a review on your podcatcher of choice or tell a friend. 5-star reviews and word of mouth are really the best way for us to keep bringing these stories to more people. And thank you so much for helping us save the world. We'll see you next issue. Okay, Icy is talking about apple orchards too close to home.
Oh, no, you're fine. They're cool. Terrifying.
Roll they are. It. Have you ever
seen... You need to represent their terrifyingness, though.
Wait, I have so many questions.
Hold on. Icy, do you have a good picture of the horrifying apple orchards?
Let me see what I can find.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I also have questions.
Well, my experience with apple orchards have been pleasant, except for bees.
Have you been by an apple orchard at night when there's no leaves?
Oh, God, that sounds like hell.
Yes. See, apple trees grow real wonky tonks.
I love that word.
So when there's no leaves and you can see all their branches, they just look like arms trying to drag you to hell.
Okay. I never, ever needed to know this, right? Like, that's something in my brain that I never needed to know now.
Don't come to West Virginia.
You have to drive through one to get to Icy's house, and it's horrifying.
Please imagine this.
Oh my God.
As far as the eye can see, and with the headlights of your car casting shadows past all that.
Oh God. Okay, so like apple picking here is something that like white couples do for $75. Right? Like, that's how it is here on the West Coast.
Oh my God.
That's how it is here too for everyone except Icy.
That is like terrifying.
That looks like whatever like bramble Prince Philip fights through during and like certain movie, and also the like the thorn patch that the hyenas fall into in the Lion King. It's both at the same time.
Yep.
Like, even the grass isn't happy to be there, you guys.
Nope.
Nature's rebel against man.
If anyone has seen the Scottish play, this is what I expect the woods like walking look like.
This is what I expect the witches look like.
This is what I'm thinking about every time I eat an apple from now on.
It's always a good day when I get to indoctrinate a bunch of people into my specific terrors.
I never want to experience this.
It's an awful.
Okay, we should probably pick back up. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. You all needed to know because that's the effect we're going for.